Adam, thanks so much for joining us. Happy to have you here. Wanted to talk about Otto 2. We talked about Otto OG last year at the PGA show, which was a different kind of PGA show. We've kind of, sounds like we've got the old PGA show back, and we've got a better and maybe more petite Otto that's now available, Otto 2. So can you give us kind of the highlights for what Otto is for people who don't know what it is, and what Otto 2 is, why it's better than Otto 1?
Right. So Autos is kind of short, abbreviated for autonomous. When we started building the first generation of Otto 2 years ago, maybe a little bit longer, but we launched it last year, we wanted to make something that's a little more easy for the consumer to kind of get access to, and then also open for them. You know, obviously, when you go through a fitting, you have a fitting rep there, you have a net, you have all this stuff going on. It may be slightly intimidating to kind of walk up and commit to do something like that. And we want all different types of golfers to feel comfortable. So Otto was meant to be kind of by himself. You walk up, you know, you press some buttons and you may hit some shots. There's no intimidation of a screen. There's no intimidation of another tech rep sitting there, which could be helpful for most people. But we kind of wanted to check all those buttons and check all those boxes of like, an open and easy way to get fit. So when Otto 1 first went out last year, as we talked about at the show, had really great success. It was amazingly accepted at the show. We did the most ball fittings we've ever done in a PGA show. And, you know, we've had years where we had four ball fitters in the booth. So Otto just churned out fittings. It's really quick. It's very simple. We look at it like the way I look at it is like a self-checkout at a grocery store, right? There's people that want to go to an associate and get the checkout and get some help and rung it up. That's kind of normal ball fitting. And then there's self-checkout to where, like, you know, there's a new generation now of people that can handle the technology and stuff like that. So they walk up, bloop, 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 and they're out the door, and they might do it faster than the other one. So that's kind of what Otto ball fitting was, is a quick way to get fit. You look at your stats, you look at your numbers, there's a launch monitor built right into it, and you get your ball fitting stats emailed to you immediately. What's cool about the Otto system is it has a modular device inside that's connected to cellular device. So wherever we're at, it either connects to Sprint, Verizon, or AT&T. So pretty much there's signal everywhere, wherever this thing is put down. So launched it, and it had a great year, and we were super excited. But the big thing to talk about this year is Otto Gen 2. And Otto Gen 2, I look at it in a way of constant innovation. We're always trying to kind of level up our ball fitting as it stands. You know, we don't want to stay stagnant and say, oh, you know, online ball fitting and, you know, a little bit of in-person fitting is good. We got it. We checked it off. We're always kind of working with R&D of ways that we can kind of innovate inside that ball fitting space. I mean, a couple of years ago, we launched VFit, to where you could take your phone out and do a fitting. And that was pretty cool. You could use an app to do that. And then now we're moving into Otto to kind of keep leveling that ball fitting up. So Otto Gen 2 is designed with the technology of the first iteration of it, but it's kind of a jump in innovation as far as the algorithm. We have a year of learning of, you know, what buttons are people pressing? We're learning, you know, what's important to them, whether it's distance or spin or less spin off your driver or more spin around the greens. We're kind of learning every month, every day on what the consumer really needs and what they want. And then, of course, we're getting all the data. We're seeing all the spin and all the launch. And as you know, the ball is effective, but I mean, we see what kind of trends of what's going on in the marketplace with drivers and lofts and flexes. So we kind of understand the conditions and how they change. And, you know, we've changed the golf ball so many years on also what the drivers are doing. Like, because, I mean, A ball that fits drivers now might not be good, you know, 15 years ago when drivers had a little bit more spin. Now the industry's, you know, you want to launch it high and spin it low. And, you know, maybe 10 or 12 years ago, a lot of drivers got up in the air with spin. Like, you get the ball up the high trajectory, but it's because spin's putting it there. Now you're launching it high and it's almost doing this rather than like an upshoot, you know, with back in the day, obviously with Baladas, everybody hit the little low screamer and it flies up. But we're constantly learning, constantly evolving. You know, the biggest thing about Gen 2 is an update on the algorithm. It's even smarter and better. It's always learning. The AI of the algorithm's learning. We're learning internally, writing up new equations and new algorithms. And then, of course, the machine's actually getting better when we put in those in there. And then secondly, it's going to be a little bit tidier, as you say. It's going to be easier to move around. The first one was a big unit that you brought out and kind of set there. This one is a little bit, has a little bit more mobility, and it's going to provide a little bit better open possibilities for consumers to get fit.
As you guys get the data in from these fittings, from the auto units, how often are you going to be, or in the past with the original auto, how often are you able to update the algorithm, or is that even necessary from one year to the next?
Oh yeah, we're constantly looking at the numbers, and our IT guy can get in there like when it's out there, because it's hooked up to cellular, so it's basically online all the time. As long as it's turned on, you know, it can be entered in remotely and updated all the time. So he's looking at it all the time. Our R&D team and myself are kind of looking at the numbers and looking at the stats coming in. We look at the ball thinning spread. We can easily look at a chart and it says like, okay, you know, 40% is RX and then 30% is RXS. And we're like, oh, that's pretty good. That kind of mimics what we've done in the past. But if we start seeing fluctuations in numbers, then we can just look at it and say, why is these numbers going up? And then we can look at what the consumer is selecting. Because personal preference is a big part of the selection guide as well. I mean, we could totally just fit people into a ball that goes longer, right? We could say E12, RX, and X all day. But consumers want to do certain things around the greens. And for years, we've always done that. You know, ball fitting isn't just about getting the longest ball in your line. It's customizing the ball to what the consumer needs from tee to green. And obviously some people have kind of hit at us sometimes and say like, oh, you guys just trying to find the longest golf ball. Well, we're not. We've never fit that way. You know, we look at that. And if a consumer walks up to us and says, distance, I need distance, that's the number one thing, then yes, we're going to fit them into the longest golf ball that we can fit them into our line. But if somebody says, yeah, my distance is good, I don't want to hit any shorter, but I need a little bit more short game spin, I need to spin the ball around the greens more. So then you can say, okay, well, let's look at these two. Let's look at X and look at XS. And then if they're close in distance, but then we know XS is more spin around the greens, and that's the performance they need, then we steer towards that. So sometimes the consumer gets the longest golf ball recommendation. Sometimes they get a ball that has long distance, but then also the preference they need around the green and on approach shots. So all that circling back to your real question is we look at the numbers and all the time. I mean, in a year basis, we do kind of a big overhaul. Like this one, Auto Gen 2 will feature kind of a bigger jump in the algorithm and how it changes in the formulas. But if we're seeing things, if another company adds a new ball, then boom, we put that on the list. Like that's some small changes that we could make instantly, like from a Friday to Saturday morning can be done overnight. So we're all the time in there. We're kind of keeping an eye on it, looking, making sure it represents the golf space, like the right balls are in there from our competitors, you know, new balls, and we update them. You know, we can adjust stats of spin. You know, if we like this window for X and this window for XS, we can kind of tweak those all the time to where a certain spin number will recommend a different ball. So to answer your question, we're in there constantly throughout the year. And then this Auto Gen 2 features a more of a jump in the algorithm innovation.
And do people who come to an auto for a fitting, are they price conscious, and is auto price aware, if that makes sense?
That's a great question, because when we have ball fittings live and there's a person there, you know, the first question, almost the very first question after we ask your name is, what ball do you play? And so, of course, that's factored in. I mean, that would be silly of us to always recommend the highest level, most expensive golf ball. You know, it is directly impacted on the fitting for a live person. And then it's also directly impacted even with auto. We made sure that was in there. That way we fit somebody into a price comfortable golf ball, because they may not spend $50 on a golf ball dozen ever in their entire life. So if I recommend them RX or X or XS, then you might lose that consumer. So it's totally has to be kept in mind. And that's the same thing if any good fitter fits somebody into a driver, that's in the back of their mind. What actually is their budget of what they're going to spend on this driver? Am I going to put them in a, $400 OBAN upcharge shaft, you know, if they're not going to pay for it, then you're going to lose that consumer. So obviously with auto, you lose the personal person to person question aspect. So we built that into it to when auto asks them what ball they're currently playing. You know, we have it categorized by where those balls fall in as far as a price category as well. So then that way the end result of the fitting kind of matches up where that person already is.
And that makes sense. And the new balls that you have out for 2023, the data, obviously you don't have swaths of data for, you know, tons of field fitting data around them already. So how do you kind of fit those balls and recommendations around them and profiles around them into the other parts of the 2-year cycle in the Tour B, where you have tons of data on those and those consumer fittings?
That's a great question. So we do have two new golf balls that will be a part of the auto recommendation, the new E12 Contact and the new E9 Long Drive. The E9 Long Drive is a brand new ball coming into our line, not a spec that we've had before. The good thing about these two, the E12 Contact, obviously it's an incremental innovation change on the E12 that's currently out. So we have a lot of data on the previous E12 that we can kind of lean to. We know how that ball performs. R&D knows how this E12 is different as far as performance. So those can be factored into the algorithm. The E9, we did a lot of testing with the E9 R&D wise, and it included a lot of consumer data. Obviously, it won't be as much as a year's worth of auto fittings to see who fits the E9. But what we did is we looked at E9 in relevance to E12, to X, to RX, you know, kind of those distance-oriented balls. And we identified a category that this player fits into. And it also, as you just mentioned, it fits into a category in the marketplace as far as a price perspective. And so E9 is really built for distance. It's going to be definitely that player that walks up to auto and presses that distance button, and they're looking for a little more ball speed. They're looking for, you know, lower that spin, get the trajectory high. You know, this ball is really built. The E9 Long Drive is amazing, and we spent a lot of time kind of leaning into a firmer, faster golf ball. You know, the market has gone soft all these years, and you always try to balance that softness of losing ball speed versus getting spin down. You know, all those things are in constant balance with R&D, and you're trying to pull those attributes in a way to make a ball that works for a certain demographic. And the E9 Long Drive was co-designed with the World Long Drive, the guys out there on the World Long Drive. And obviously, they're creating ball speed over 200 miles an hour, which isn't representative of the marketplace. But I mean, you know, the highest level we see what this ball does, you know, for them, it's all about trajectory and carry distance. Those are the things they can control. You know, you might not be able to control, you know, roll on the green. I mean, roll down the fairway, maybe firm or fast. You don't really know, but you know, you can control distance, trajectory, and those are some of the biggest things about E9 is just straight up fast ball velocity, 330 seamless dimple pattern for that, you know, flight, keep the ball in the air. A lot of feedback they had from previous years. They actually used this ball, the World Long Drive Championship. We snuck it to them earlier, and this was a part of our testing too, is they did a lot of testing with the golf ball before they did the championship. The guys were kind of testing it on their own. We sent all the contenders that were kind of going to the finals, the balls in advance, you know, the prototypes, and then they used it during the championship. And they just were talking about how the ball velocity was so good because with them, they swing so fast. Sometimes there's a diminishing return of like they're almost over smashing the ball. So yeah, smash factor starts going way down because they're almost past the point of diminishing return for like actually getting an optimized smash factor. So they were talking about how good the ball kind of performed up against that wall of smash factor versus swing speed, which is, you know, swing speed and ball speed is smash factor. So, you know, they were happy with that. They saw some of the longest carry distances they've had before. I mean, obviously it's conditioned on wind. That ball's up there for a long time when they hit it. It's like 4.5, almost 5 seconds in the air. So a lot can go on in the air as far as the environment, but they were very impressed, and it kept pushing us down the line of like, man, this is really good. And it's a ball that really is designed for long drive, just straight up ball speed. It's a really great ball.
And there are some people out there who just want to tee it up high and let it fly on a Saturday or Sunday. And absolutely, they don't really care if it's particularly well spinning or well performing around the greens. I mean, they want to just see it go.
Yeah, there's a total category out there in the marketplace, and there's a demographic of golfers that is exactly what you said. They, you know, they hit it 10 yards shorter than they did 10 years ago, and they want to get back there. And the short game may be good enough, or, you know, they may be less of a nipping spinner of the golf ball, and they just want the ball to give them a little bit closer to the green. That way they could hit less club into the green, and yep, that may be important to them. So it's our duty to not treat every player like they're a full-blown tour player and they want to spin the ball at all costs. You know, they may have different categories and different things that's important to them.
Speaking of tour players, you have a great staff of and a variety of different types of players, from Tiger to Fred, Jason Day, part of it. You have a guys with different games, but they're also fundamentally all incredible players and have a really good idea of what they want to do on the golf course. So is it an easier process or a more difficult process to fit a tour pro into a ball?
That's a great question. I don't think anybody's asked if it's tougher for them. That's a really good question. It is more precise. You spend a lot more time with them, for sure. So, you know, they're you know, an everyday player may say, hey, let me chip it around the greens. Let me see it off the tee. And then I'll kind of work it in between when I get out to play. Tiger wants to see what it does on a 40-yard chip shot, you know, and that's, yeah, for him, that's one that's like a, you know, a really tight pin. I need to see if this ball checks and gives me that kind of nip, you know. For Fred, it may be the flight of his, you know, five iron. You know, it's different things. And, you know, what's funny too is all of them are so different. You know, we see, you know, we're getting close to 4 million fittings in our history of Bridgestone. And that means we've seen a lot of different players hit the ball, you know, type in different numbers, all of our fitting mechanisms. But the tour players are no different. I always talk about, like, Tiger and Fred. Those two are awesome, right? They've won majors. They've been number one in the world. You know, they're icons in the game. But they can't be so more far apart in how we fit them. Tiger is like the biggest numbers guy. You know, I mean, he's like saying the numbers when the ball's in the air. You know, he knows those numbers down to the couple hundreds. You know, he hits it off the toe with his driver. He says, hey, I don't, you know, when I hit it off the toe here, I don't want it under 1800. And yeah, he hits a little toe hook and it's, you know, it's 1950. And he's like, that one should be over 18. And then he hits a little hilly cut and, you know, I don't want it over 2700 or 28. If I hit a little cut. And so, like, there's windows of his ball where it should. Fred, on the other hand, he throws down the balls. He doesn't want a track man back there. He doesn't want the numbers. We try to sneak it in there to get numbers for ourselves if we can. But he hits 2 5-iron shots with each ball. If there's, you know, 5 prototypes, we walk up to the green. He looks at where the spread is, and he goes, that's the one right there. I like where that one landed. My ball mark's here. It went 205. That's what I want to hit at 205. So, like, it's so funny to work with those guys. You know, Jason Day is kind of right in the middle, a little bit closer to Tiger. You know, Lexi is a closer to Fred. She wants to hit it. She wants to know what ball speed is. But sometimes she'll go the whole time and not ask a single number. She'll hit that one, and it'll be kind of a feel question. Like, yeah, that one felt really good. I like that. But, like, she doesn't want me kind of giving her numbers, like, you know, 167 ball speed, you know, 285 carry, you know, some, yeah, guys like that, like, you know, a Matt Kuchar may want to constantly tell you, you know, his carry distance on his 8, you know, I remember one test we did and he was real focused on the spin on his kind of mid irons, like mid scoring irons, like 7 to 9. And so we sat there and literally when he struck it, every shot went in the air. I tell him spin and I tell him carry, you know, just like boom, boom, boom. So they're all different. And that's what we always say to the consumer is, like, there isn't one ball, there isn't one series of ball that's for you. Like, you know, tour B's for everyone, performance for everyone, this ball's for everyone. Like, we will, like, if we ever say that, then we've lost our way at Bridgestone. And we believe that every golfer kind of falls in different parts, you know. It's not a total, we talked about price a little bit, but it's not a price thing. It's also a performance thing of, like, what's important to one person isn't important to another. And that's why we have so many different balls on tour. And then that's why we have so many different balls that pass down from tour players to elite amateurs to everyday amateurs to everyday amateurs that play once a year in a scramble.
And that's what all of that, all of the last whatever number of minutes we've been talking is underscoring why you should get fit for a golf ball. It's just as important, if not the most important piece of equipment, because it is the only one you use on every single shot. So if you have something in your hands or you're looking on the ground you feel comfortable with, you're just going to play better golf. It's statistics.
Absolutely. And I always go back to the man, Tiger. He always said the ball's this big, right? And, you know, in the grand scheme of percentage of like your whole entire bag and your workouts and your, you know, your shoes and everything you have, the ball is this small and it feels like it is a small part. But every time we ask him the importance of the golf ball, he says the same thing without any promptness from us, is it's the most important thing in your bag. Like, it is a thing that you're going to hit on every shot. You know, you're going to hit it on every putt, every chip, every drive. You have to look down on that ball and have total confidence. I mean, the driver's important, iron's important, wedges, putter. I'm not saying any of that isn't important, but the ball is possibly the most important part because it is a part of everything that you do. You know, it's a part of your first tee off, and then it's a part of your last putt in the hole. And when you shoot 66 or 86, it's the thing that matters. That's where the score comes from, is every time that ball went into the hole and every time that ball is struck, that's a stroke. And so it's just such an important thing. It's important. You can build off of that. You know, he always says, get the ball where it needs to be. And then I build my wedges, I build my irons, I build my driver kind of around where the ball is. And so, yeah, I agree with you. It's what you hit on every shot. It's super important. And getting fit is so important, elite level. And we've even said it before. I truly believe that after the elite level, after single digits, I think it's more important. People feel like, oh, I'm not good enough to really feel what the ball is going to do. I disagree totally.
Not true.
I think it's more important for a golfer who's struggling or a higher handicap to get the ball right, to tighten up. Because, you know, there's all different kind of handicaps, right? There's a single digit that's a really good driver of the ball and okay around the green. But then there's a single digit that's a, you know, great driver of the ball, or the opposite, whatever I was trying to say. But you get what I'm saying. So yeah. Like, you know, there's different parts of every golfer, and you could be a 18 or 20 something handicap because you're not a great driver of the ball. So what can you get the biggest chunk off of your handicap and do better? Like, man, if I drove the ball better and got, you know, I'm a really good iron player, if I drove the ball better. So then we lean into like, well, you know, maybe E12 contact would be a great fit for somebody who struggles off the tee. You know, it's a soft golf, but golf ball is still a three-piece in design. There's a lot of playability with the irons. So let's straighten you up off the tee. Let's get you off of a, you know, I'm not even going to use a competitor ball, but maybe this person uses an XS and it's like really spinny and they're kind of overworking it in the fairway. Let's put you in something that tightens up, an RX that's a little bit straighter, or an E12 that's a little bit straighter. And you can start reducing that handicap just by like chopping some of your, you know, your struggles on the golf course. But anyway, sorry, I could go round and round about ball fitting. It's super, I love it. It's super important, and I'm a golf nerd and love the numbers. So you stop me at any time when I just kind of keep saying the same stuff over and over.
But that's why I love talking to you, because we're equally nerdy and yes. But you have way more expertise and knowledge than I ever will about this subject. So it's fun to learn from you and hear about what you guys are doing and what you guys are doing to continue to get people fit for golf balls. And I appreciate that. And I appreciate you coming on and talking with us about everything auto and everything Bridgestone 2023.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having us. We're super excited. It's going to be a big year for us. We've got a lot of golf balls launching, and auto Gen 2 is we're really excited about that and getting it out into the marketplace and fitting more consumers. That's our main goal, 100%.